We trust that you feel welcome in the presence of the Lord this morning and welcome here at Bikers Church. If you're expecting a good sermon, you're going to be disappointed, but if you believe that God is going to speak, you're going to hear God speak this morning. He's got something for jou in besonder. Dis dit nie so nie. Ons innige sympathie en meegevoel vir Wikus. Wikus' dad graduated to be with the Lord and we weren't here last week. The week before, Leonie's dad graduated to be with Jesus. So our sympathies and condolences to the family there. And the circle of life continues, you know. Life goes on and we celebrate life this morning with Reinhardt and Kayla and Logan. Where is that bundle? By Granny. Ah, is that why there's just smiles of relief on these young parents' faces? Like, shoo, what's crying a blast, can't see. Hallelujah. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. We trust that you going to enjoy your presence, your time in the presence of the Lord with us this morning. We've come quite a journey this year so far. We've spoken about love for several weeks, months. We've spoken about, am I my brother's keeper? What are the other themes that we've spoken about? We've spoken about our vision for a while. We've done a topic, a series on finances. And it's my pleasure this morning to introduce a new series which we're going to be running for a couple of weeks here in the church. And it's something that is can be so mystical that people think that it's only for certain people, and sometimes it can be so practical that that unless you have this present in your life, your Christian walk will be extremely, extremely difficult. And it's my pleasure this morning to introduce this new theme and this new topic for you, and I trust that the stuff that you're going to learn, it might be some new stuff, it might be some old stuff, it might be stuff that you've forgotten already, then you need to learn it again if you've forgotten it. But if you apply to your life, God's word guarantees you that your life will never ever be the same again. I'm not making any guarantees. However, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and God Himself has a written guarantee that if you apply this to your life, the stuff that we're going to go through in the next couple of weeks, if you apply it to your life, it will transform your Christianity and your walk with God forever. And that theme is how to ride your... Wrong audience. That's for the classes at the Superbike School. The theme is prayer, fasting, and hearing God's voice. Prayer, fasting, and hearing God's voice. And a foundational scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning is from Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me there to Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Once you've gotten to that place in your script, in your Bible, you can highlight it, you can mark it, you can make footnotes on the side. It's going to be essential to what we're going to be talking about for the next couple of weeks to come. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. It should be coming up there on the overhead. If not, if you do not have a Bible, please sit next to a Christian, and I'm sure they'll share their Bible with you. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. If you there, say, preach it. If you're not there, say, hallelujah. Okay, Jeremiah is just a little bit to the right of the middle of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Jeremiah. Not in that order, it eventually comes after that. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. Very, very powerful promise. There it goes. All the scriptures this morning, unless otherwise indicated, will be from the New King James Translation. I've got two, if we get there, from the NLT, the New Living Translation, second edition, but the rest is from the New King James. But I'm going to read from verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of prison, saying, notice he was shut up because he wasn't speaking. Not actually. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me. He says, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, if you've been in Bikers Church for a while, you will notice in this church we have a system and a method and certain protocol and arrangements in place. If somebody has a need, they don't just rush out and get to see me straight away. Not because I have a closed door policy, not because I'm so high and mighty that I, you kan nie afspraak met my kry nie. And if you know me, I'm not really so hung up about the whole title deal. When I introduce myself to people, I say, friends call me Mozzie. Because people change when they know you're a pastor. And when they ask, you know, what do you do? Something I learned a while ago, and it's had incredible results. I tell people, no, I work with my father. Oh, is it? So what is it that you do? No, we're in a family business. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, it's a family business that, you know, there's representation in South Africa and all over the world. Oh, okay. So what is it that you guys do? No, we actually in the rejuvenation. We're in the rejuvenation and in the retrieval business, rejuvenation and regeneration business. So wat is dit dan eintlik? Nee, ons on die herwinning en hernuwing besigheid. O, so wat doen julle eintlik? Now, you know that when stuff's taken away from people, unrightfully so, we get it back, and where there's death, we bring life. Oh, so what is it actually called? It's called the church. Oh, then you want to see their face change. And why I don't say that op die intrapslag is because sometimes they hard drinks or they hard smokes or they change their language. Why? And then I want to tell them, I must love and accept you as you are or not at all. Do you understand that? Do you understand where I work with my father? It's a family business. We have universal representation. The long-term benefits and rewards are out of this world. And when the devil steals from people, we get back what the enemy's stolen. And where there's death, we play an instrumental role in bringing life. But we have a system and a process in place in this church that if somebody has a need or a prayer request or a counseling issue or whatever the case may be, the first default course of action is to be referred to the home cell closest to that person. Some of you are looking at, oh, that's actually how it works. So if you know of somebody that has a need or a prayer request, the first course of action is to refer the person to the closest home cell to that person that has the need. Why is that? Why is that? Well, there's several reasons. First and foremost, because one person can't do it all. We see that principle in Moses' father-in-law Jethro gives him advice. I'll just give you the scripture reference. You don't have to turn there. Exodus 18:18-22. He sees that Moses, hy werk hom in die grond in. And he says, young man, this is going to kill you. If you continue to try to do everything for all of these people, it is going to kill you. Distribute the workload to faithful people, trustworthy people, and place people in charge of tens, of fifties, of hundreds, and of thousands. So we see that principle there, spreading the workload. That's the first and foremost reason. Second of all, so that every member can become a minister. So that people can realize that anybody and everybody who's willing to listen will hear from God. I said everybody and everybody who's willing to listen can hear from God. It's not just a privilege assigned to certain professionals that stand up on a platform with a microphone. Anybody and everybody can hear from God. And that God is no respecter of persons. And we see that principle about every member being a minister from the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Speaks about how the whole body is edified and lifted up and grows by what every joint supplies. Raise your hands this morning. Just raise your hands quickly. You are a joint. Now, it doesn't mean because you raise your hand, we're going to give you a joint. You're a joint. You're a joint in the body of Christ. And if you play your role, and Mensa, playing your role as a joint in the body of Christ, beteken nie net om net op Sondag kerk toe te kom. Ek gaan het hierdie kant sê. Dit beteken nie net om Sondag kerk toe te kom nie. Dit begin nie en eindig nie daar nie. Dit beteken, waar kan ek betrokke raak? What can I do? You must be a volunteer looking for a place to happen. That's the role that you play in the body of Christ. And not only the activities of the church, wat van as jy nie kerk toe gaan nie, as dit nie 'n kerkverwante aktiwiteit is nie, is nie 'n sel nie, is nie 'n chapter meeting nie, is nie 'n social need, just being the church in the body of Christ in the places that God has placed you in your day-to-day work. That's being the body of Christ and playing a role in giving a little bit of Jesus to somebody that crosses your path. That's the role to play. Daarom, as daar behoefte is, a counseling issue, a person will be referred to the home cell closest to the area. If, in the unlikely event, that there's an issue that cannot be resolved by the anointed, spirit-filled people in the home cell, then and will be referred to somebody. I just want you to know, if you need something, please ask me and I'll get somebody else to help you. Ek wil net vir julle weet, ek sien so vir julle. Okay, but a lot of people think, no, ek moet net met die pastoor praat. When I know that person, then I know they're not seeking help. They're shopping for counseling. You get people like that. God has spoken clearly through some person into their lives manier. Hulle soek en soek en soek vir die persoon wat hulle gaan sê wat hulle wil hoor. They want to hear what they want to hear. They're not seeking help and breakthrough from God. They're just shopping for counseling. Nee, ek moet net vir die pastoor sien. And the reason being is that you, lady, ma'am, sir, if you've got a need, you need to hear from God. You don't need to hear what I've got to say. You don't need to hear what I've got to say. You need to hear from God. That's what you need. That's why we have that system in place here in this church. If a person does end up by me, God help them. Because that's what will happen. God will help them. You see, traditional style counseling is like this. You have a counselor and a counselee. A person has a need. And the counselor has this responsibility. They must pray. They must fast. They must talk in tongues. I tie, my tie, you tie, your tie, and we all eat bow ties. Shondai, rondai. And the person comes to you, and you must get a message from God, and then you must give it to him like a mother bird regurgitates food and gives it to the chicklets in the nest. Yeah. Like that. Okay, let's try and get that image out of your head. But like, so you've got to give something to that person that comes to you. That's the traditional form of counseling. I've got a need, I've got to go to you, and I get something from you. Part of my theological degree, we had an entire year spent on that type of counseling. What a waste. What a waste of a year. Just 1 year, just on that, as part of my degree. Can you believe it? Now, I've since learned that what you do is the person comes into your office. You establish their relationship with Jesus. Waar staan hulle aangaande geestelike sake? Make sure that they, in their own way, can discern when and how God is speaking. We're going to get to that in the series, in the ways in which God speaks. But you find out how that person, hoe hulle God se teenwoordigheid en die leiding van die Heilige Gees vir hulle self ervaar. And all you do is you pray for them while they hear from God in your presence. So, inevitably, if somebody does end up with me, one of the first things I will ask them is this. Now, regardless of the need and what it is that I've been told they need to see me about, I ask them this. So, how's your prayer life? Nee, my Egbert. No, but how's your prayer life? Tell me about your prayer life. What is your prayer life like? So if you're sitting there this morning thinking, sure, I really wanted to come and see you, Mozzie, but now I'm not so sure. I'm glad. Because I'm going to ask you, how's your prayer life? Because my brother, my sister, each one of us need to be able to hear and to discern the voice of God for ourselves. You see, an interesting scripture, Paul, his name is Saul up until this stage, and he's like a mafia godfather. He authorizes the execution and persecution of Christians in the church. And he has a radical encounter on the road to Damascus with Jesus. Bang! He meets Jesus and gets knocked off his horse. And after that, Paul says this. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, after I met Jesus, I didn't immediately confer with flesh and blood. That means he didn't go and seek ideas and opinions from people. Where wat het mense hieroor te sê? He knew that he had met Jesus. You couldn't convince him otherwise from scripture. You couldn't come and try and contradict what he experienced with any theological teaching or anything. He knew he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road, and he knew he met with God. He said this, "Who are you, Lord?" And these two questions became the theme and the anthem of Paul throughout his entire life. Who are you and what do you want me to do? Who are you, Lord? What did it start with? Intimacy with God. Getting to know God. Not first, okay, Lord, here I am. What can I for you do? I'm now going to be a servant of the Lord. And it's great to do stuff like that. But his life's anthem and his theme was, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? And Paul says this. He says, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. I didn't go and ask people, like, okay, what do I do now? He wanted to hear from God. And it's interesting how Paul, the New Testament features basically two key characters, Peter and Paul. Paul's ministry starts off by fasting. He fasted during the period that he was blind. What a way to start your walk with God. What a way to start your walk with God. And for some people, fasting means jy eet vleis net 3 keer op 'n dag in steede van 7 keer op 'n dag. Vir jou is dit 'n hengse vas hoor. Ek vas hierdie week. Ja, ek gaan net 1 kg T-bone opeet in steede van 2 kg T-bone oor ewe. But we're going to get into fasting. The interesting thing about fasting in Scripture, every third time there's a teaching in prayer, there's a teaching in fasting in the Bible. It's amazing to see that, but check it out. So, if you do end up with me, I'll ask you, how's your prayer life? Because you need to have a prayer life. So, and your prayer life, what is the nature of your prayer life? Is it just one-way dialogue where you take your 5 minutes aside and you bring your shopping list to God, in Jesus' name, amen. Lord, this is what I want. This is how I want you to give it to me. And why didn't it come yesterday? In Jesus' name, amen. And I'll chat you on. Go on. Well, if that's your prayer life, well, this series is going to challenge you, it's going to stretch you, and I guarantee you it's going to be to your benefit, and it's going to change you. So that is why we have that system in process in this church, that you can be enabled to learn to hear from God for yourself, so that you become dependent upon Jesus and not people, because He's your source. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Are you? Is this benefiting you so far? Okay, we're getting to better stuff. There's no special or exclusive skills required to be able to hear from God. But there are practical, I chose these words carefully, I restructured the sentence several times. There's no special exclusive skills required to be able to hear from God. But there are practical scriptural principles. Practical scriptural principles that make it possible and easy for us to hear from God. For example, Jesus said, the time is coming where you ask the Father, you'll ask nothing of me, but you'll ask the Father in my name. Why would Jesus say something like that if He, the Holy Spirit, and God are all one? Why would He say something, the time is coming where you ask nothing of me, but you'll ask the Father in my name? Why would He say something like that? We're going to teach you why He says that. There's no special skills required. I want to give you this thought. If you're sitting here this morning and you're born again, then that doesn't mean you've taken up church membership somewhere. It means that the Spirit of God has made your spirit born again. And you responding to that change that has taken place in your life. Jy het God se roeping op jou lewe ervaar voordat jy eers tot bekering gekom het. Think about that. So if you think that you need something special to be able to hear from God, let me submit this to your theological framework. That before we get saved, we get to experience and perceive the call of God on our lives even before we are born again. Think about that. You weren't saved to get saved. You experienced the call of God on your life, a call to repentance on your life before you were born again. What special skills did you have there besides being an expert sinner? Does it make sense, church? You had no special skill or special anointing. I've done this Bible course, or I've got this qualification or this degree of whatever. You had nothing like that. You were just a muhu in the world, living for the devil and yourself. You started to perceive a call to repentance in your life. You submitted your will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit made your spirit born again. So there's no special skills required. But there are practical guidelines, scriptural principles, which if we apply, makes it easy for us to be able to hear from God. I'm going to share with you, see how many we get through this morning. I'm going to start off just with 7. 7 principles to consider when trying to hear from God. Are you ready? If you haven't started taking notes, now would be a good time to do so. Point number one, a key ingredient to be able to hear from God is faith. Now, it sounds oversimplified, but yet it is so overlooked. People say, They go on their knees, they pray for something, they don't experience a breakthrough, they don't hear from God, and say for yourself, yeah, well, you know, I didn't really think I'd get an answer anyway. You know, I mean, God's not going to answer me. And I want to say, not having faith in God, that's not the point we're trying to make this morning. Because you probably believe that God exists, that's why you're praying in the first place. But what kind of faith? And faith in what am I saying? Faith. The first ingredient or aspect to consider when wanting to hear from God is having faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Everybody say diligently. That means to be quick, to pay attention to diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I said not necessarily having faith in God, but having faith in God wants to answer your prayers. You individually. Having faith. Those who come to God must believe that He is. And the exciting thing about this is that faith is not something that you have to suck out of either thumb. The scripture says to each man has been given the measure of faith. Some translations, which I'm not really excited about, say a measure. So if a measure of faith has been given to Marius, and a measure of faith has been given to Quibus, maybe a measure of faith that has been given to me is a little bit less. No. I like the translation that says, to each one has been given the measure. You've been given the measure of faith. God gives you the faith to believe in Him. You don't have to muster it up for yourself. So, first element or aspect or first concept or point number one is faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So if you want to please God, you don't please God by doing. You please God by believing. Okay. That's the second, that's the first point. Those who diligently seek Him. You see, believe that God is real and that He desires fellowship with you. Why do I say faith in that God wants to answer your prayers is because God is often viewed as the God of the Yil'al. He's the God of the universe. But He's also the God of the individual. Think about that for a moment. He's the God of the individual. He's your God, your Savior, your healer, your justifier, your advocate, your close friend. He's your intercessor for you specifically. That's incredible. God is the God of the individual. If you look in Matthew 18, I didn't give it to the sound guys, come up there, but the scripture speaks about your angels. Angels specifically assigned to you. Have you thought about that? Angels that are specifically assigned to you. I want to see them one day. I'm going to give them a half hour and say, yeah, you're daarmee gered vele male hoor. You saved me so many times. You can imagine the angelic intervention if we could just get a glimpse into that realm. Wow. So God is the God of the individual. I want you to have faith in that, that God wants to give you an answer. Is there a time and a place to be able to sit under preaching and teaching and listening to others? Yes, but you take that and say, Here, dit wat ons Sondag gekry het by die ou dat al op die verhoog was. Help me to spit out the bones and get the meat. Everything that was of Mozzie, Lord, let it fall to the ground and die an immediate death. But Lord, that which came from your heart and your spirit, show me, Lord. That's what your prayer should be. So point number one is faith. Point number two, an important aspect to have in the hear from God is holiness and righteousness. Holiness and righteousness. I'll share this example. So I go to a brothel, to a house of ill repute. Okay? And wat lag jy, Kobus? Hoor, dit is net 'n voorbeeld, man. I'm just giving you an example. And I go there, and I park my motorcycle outside before I go inside. And I say, Lord, thank you for encamping your guardian angels around my motorcycle and protecting it from theft. And I go inside. You see, we know that the promises of God are conditional. So you people claim safety and protection and rebuke and stuff like that, but you're not living at a place of holiness and righteousness in God. If that's the case, then there's a foothold for the enemy to come and steal, kill, and to destroy in your life. God's not going to automatically, there's a time and a season of grace and mercy in your life that He'll grant you. That is true. He is a God of grace and mercy. But if there's any area of willful, deliberate, unrepentant, continuous, repetitive sin in your life, there's an opening for the door, an opening and a door for the devil to come and steal, kill, and to destroy in your life. I can't just claim God's protection for my motorcycle when I'm inside the brothel sinning like I want to. I can't do that. So I've got to be in a place of righteousness and holiness. The beteken nie jy is perfek nie, né? What type of righteousness is this? The 2 Corinthians 5:21 righteousness, which says that God took Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that we might be the righteousness of God because of our good deeds. That's what it says, right? No, it doesn't say that. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him, in Jesus. So if your life is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So, and that's because of what Jesus has done on the cross, correct? So that when you sin, you're no longer the righteousness of God because you undo the work of the cross. No. 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 But if there's compromise in my life, the enemy has a foothold and a right of access to my life. The principle is holiness and righteousness. Psalm 66 and verse 18. This is from the New Living Translation. I just like it. I like the way it said it in this one. Psalm 66 and verse 18. It says, "If I'd not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So if I'd not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And dan gaan ons voor God. And we're praying and we're praying and we're praying and we're fasting and we're naming and we're claiming and we're rebuking. And die antwoord is nie daar nie, but I'm harboring sin in my heart. The New King James says, if you regard iniquity in your heart, if you regard iniquity in your heart, NLT says, if I didn't confess the sin, God wouldn't have heard me. He wouldn't have heard. And I submit to you that there's nothing that God doesn't hear. He hears everything, but doesn't respond to everything like that. So the next point there is having holiness and righteousness. And I added, yeah, it's important to have humble repentance before God. Have humble repentance before God, and you're going to experience dialogue with God and conversation with God that flows. Can you say amen? Point number three. Seek God instead of just answers from God. So there's a story of this father that desires intimacy with his son. He wants to enjoy his relationship with his son. So what he does is, he takes time and effort and raises the funds and makes it possible to purchase a motorcycle for his son. And he chooses this motorcycle and he wants to customize this motorcycle from the ground up. He wants to make this a concourse masterpiece. Every single piece on that motorcycle is stripped down to individual nuts and bolts and clips and parts galore, oralster. And he customizes every single part. If it can be polished, it's polished. If it can be resprayed, it's sprayed with the best spray glue. If it can be chromed, it's chromed. If it can be anodized, it's anodized. Are you getting the gist? And he puts this motorcycle together and it comes out, ends up being a beautiful, beautiful masterpiece. It is one of a kind. You do not get another motorcycle like this. And he presents it to his son in the hope of being able to spend time with his son, enjoying this motorcycle, riding with his son. And the day comes where he gives it to his son. The guy grabs the key. He says, "Thanks, Dad." He's on his motorcycle. He's woo, and the dad is like... And he wanted to have a time of intimacy and fellowship with the son. With his son. But the son is gone. And he's just got something from the dad and he's out of there. Seek God more than you seek the answers from God. Because what God wants ultimately is intimacy and fellowship with us. That's all God has ever wanted. From the Garden of Eden to the Garden of Gethsemane and afterwards, God wants intimacy and fellowship with us. So in your seeking and in your prayers, make sure that you seek God. He's the one that's sufficient. He's the one that has everything you need. It's in His presence where nothing else matters. Seek God instead of just answers from God. Will God give you answers? Yes, sure He will. But first, seek God. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added. It will not happen before that, people. You can, by spiritual illegitimate means, acquire those things and bypass the kingdom of God. But it's going to count against you. And you're going to regret it. You'll live to regret it. You can. You see the script. Jesus speaks about entering into the sheepfold through any other way. There are other ways of entering into the sheepfold other than through the gate. So there can be imposters and there can be ways to spiritually intrude upon the stuff and miss out on God's plan and purpose for your life. And we know the kingdom of God is not a place as much as it is a system of principles. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. First seek the kingdom of God in your prayer. Say, Lord, I just want, just give me this honesty. Instead of, yeah, my child, I'll give it to you, but here's me. Here's me. I am. Wow. He says, I am. Hallelujah. That's point number three. Our desire for God must be greater than our desire for any answer. Point number four. Prayer is more an issue of being with someone than it is an issue of doing something. It's more a case of being with somebody than it is a case of doing something. Because how then would the scripture be able to say to you, pray without ceasing? It says, never stop praying. I'm going to give you that scripture in a moment, in the next point. So, which is, Lord, but I've got to shower, I've got to go to work, I've got to see clients, I've got to feed the kids, I've got to attend parents' teachers' meetings, I've got to go on breakfast runs, I've got to... I moet nou braai. I can't be praying all the time. Wanneer gaan ek braai? Dan gaan die tyd wees om te braai nie. Gaan nou braai. But the scripture says, pray without ceasing. Say, if it's doing something, how can you do that? No. It's more a case of being with someone than it is a case of doing something. So that's point number four. Prayer is more an issue of being with someone than it is an issue of doing something. In James 4 and verse 8, it says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Can you see the desire for intimacy again? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Seek Him, I am, and He will draw near to you. And it goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, when I meditate on this again, it's true. So, it's almost like it's saying that if there's double-mindedness, my heart's not pure. It means a divided heart. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So, purify your hearts. Have a unified heart by being single-minded in your pursuit of seeking God. Not just the answers that God gives. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Remember this, that God wants intimacy above all else. Point number five, just three more and then we're done. Don't give up. We've said this before, that prayer is the work of a Christian. Arrange a dinner party at the church. And look at how many people come. Arrange a social where daar gebraai gaan word. And I got nothing against braais. I braai too. Al is it grasworsies. I braai them. Okay? So, and see how many people come. And then arrange a prayer meeting. And then see how many people come. Arrange something where, as the person that is involved with it or whatever, you could get some recognition because of your arrangements and your organization, etc. And then arrange a prayer meeting and then gauge your popularity levels then. It's interesting, isn't it? Somebody has said this, if you want to see how popular the church is, just come to church on Sunday and see how many people there are. If you want to see how popular the preacher is, just come and attend one of his teachings or seminars or something. If you want to see how popular Jesus is, check how many people are at the prayer meetings. By the way, we have one every Sunday, which is open to the entire church every Sunday from 8 o'clock. Don't feel heavy or convicted now. I'm just saying. It's open to anybody and everybody. Okay? So don't give up. Don't give up in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Again, this is from the NLT. It says, never stop praying. Never stop praying. And I put this there to say that that is why prayer is being with someone. You don't need to be in, have a specific place or say specific things to be able to pray. You can be praying all the time, anytime, every time, for anything and everything. Hang, I pray for parking spaces to open up. You say, yeah, but that's like so insignificant, man. God's not going to answer that prayer. Well, if you're not faithful with the small things, how are you ever going to be able to go to somebody and say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And they didn't just stand there like it says, they picked him up like this. And you've got to make sure that you've heard from God before you do that. Honestly, when you let the person go, there's a good lippity clipper. So if you don't have faith to trust God for... Say, start with, you got a little bit of a headache. And now I'm not talking about your spouse, I mean an actual headache. Lay under up yourself, and in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just speak divine health into this body. Where the Spirit of God is, you will quicken my mortal flesh and give life to my body, Lord. Just whatever's causing this, in Jesus' name, go. It might be because you're eating wrong, it might be because you're stressed, it might be because you're not resting enough or don't have enough sleep. You know, before you start casting out demons, devil, in the name of Jesus, come out. You know, just be practical. There are sometimes, hello, does it make sense? So, pray without ceasing. Pray for everything and anything and everything. Mensa, we all on a journey towards a destination. Is it so? If the whole body of Jesus Christ today hasn't got the concept of prayer worked out. The Bible says so. It says now we only see merely as a reflection in a mirror. One day we'll see the true substance. Today we only see a reflection. So what's like real prayer and intercession? Not real, but the next level, if I can call it that, of prayer and intercession going to be like? What's that like? I can imagine that there's something to do with, we see this in Hebrews 7:25. It says Jesus, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Hey, tree in namens ons. Wow. I wonder what that conversation's like. Just imagine what that's like. So daarom kan ek sê, pray without ceasing. You see, if you in John 15, Jesus speaks about him being the vine and us being the branches. Us in him and him in us. So if you're having fellowship with the Father, you can say, you're in prayer. Constantly with God. God's the name is Yahweh Jehovah, and the and he said the Ancient of Days. People from time past, they didn't even spell his name completely because they deemed his name too holy to be spoken. But they taught what was known as breath prayers, that God's name would be like breathing in and breathing out. Yeah. Yahweh, Jehovah. You're constantly in the presence of God. That's how you can pray unceasing, where you're mindful of God. That's point number 5. It says, do not stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. Two more to go and then we're done. Are you still awake? Just nudge your neighbor gently with an elbow and say, "Wat wakker?" Just gently, eh? Go. Point number six. Be sincere and unselfish. Me, the first people I pray for is me, myself, and I. And then if there's any time left, I might intercede for other people and pray for other situations. So the idea is to be sincere, opreg in your heart, and unselfish. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. It's in the Old Testament. case you're wondering. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Consider your ways. Just consider. Lord, what's the motive for me coming up for prayer or asking for prayer? Once at an altar call, I was standing in front, a couple came forward. They came forward with a particular prayer request. And as always, I hear what they say, but I don't necessarily respond to that. I want to hear, God, what do you have to say? They asked me to pray for something. I said, no, I feel God is laying this on my heart. Address this particular issue in your life before God will bring that breakthrough. They accepted it and went away, but they didn't accept it. They went and complained to some dominie, and they told the dominie what I said. The fact that I said, God has laid this area of sin in your life, sort that out, God will bring that breakthrough. Them and the dominie were highly upset that I said that. But I had to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So if you come up for a prayer, you have an idea that this is what the issue is. Maybe God is leading you in a different area, a different direction to hear something else. The reason, you see, let me give you this simple illustration. The reason that your hand is burning might not be the stove's fault. It might not be because the switch is on. It might be because your hand is on the stove. Take your hand off the stove. Dan gaan die skakelaar kan aanbly of afbly. Kan jy verskil maak nie? That stove can get as hot as it wants. You're not going to feel pain anymore. Take your hand off the plate. Then your dilemma is resolved. It's not the problem is the Lord, please switch it off. Switch that power off, Lord. Cut the electricity. Eskom, do your thing. But your hand is still burning. God might be saying, take your hand off the plate. Take your hand off the plate. The good news is this couple then went, they came and they told me that they were upset afterwards. And I'm so glad that they did. People, let me just say this, not if. When I upset you, please come and tell me. Please come and tell me. Don't brom and fester and moan and go and tell other people and let it eat you from the inside like a cancer. Come and tell me, Mozzie, you suck. I'll say, right, I know that, but tell me, waar het ek nou droog gemaak? Come on, man, daar's net rooi bloed in hierdie are. They came to me and they told me, but they said, you know what, we're willing to repent. They repented, that other issue was dealt with, they ended up dealing with the sin issue and went on. It was beautiful. What would have happened if I felt sorry for them? I would have missed God, so would they. They would also have missed God, but I also would have missed God. I also would have missed God. So it's important to be sincere in opreg en in ons motive. It's about the motives of our heart. Be sincere and unselfish is point number 6. Haggai 1 says, Haggai 1 and verse 5, consider your ways. And James 4 and verse 3. One more point and then I'm done. James 4 and verse 3. It says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. The selfsugtigheid daar. So examine your ways and say, Lord, what is my motive for wanting this and praying? Why am I asking for a breakthrough concerning this? Consider your ways. What are you actually asking for? Point number 6. Point number 7. Make specific room for God. Now, how many of you have seen that movie? Is it The War Room? Yeah. You don't necessarily have to make a specific room, dinkende, tensy ek in daai kamer is, gaan ek nie van God kan hoor nie, hoor. It doesn't work like that. God will speak to you anytime, any place, any circumstances, if you're willing to hear. Okay, so I don't mean have a specific place like that, but it is important to have a place like that. This is the point I'm trying to make, and it's the following. It says, this does not mean that God is limited to only speaking in certain places or times. It means that we have to arrange and ensure the circumstances around us to be able to discern what God is saying. So when I say make a specific room for God, make room for God in your life. Arrange the circumstances around you that you can hear more clearly from God. For some, it might be listening to praise and worship. For some, it might be reading the scriptures. For some, it might be going out and admiring nature, watching a sunrise or sunset. For some, it might be riding a motorcycle for some. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. It might be riding your motorcycle as hard and as fast as you can. For some. So what is it? What floats your boat? Okay? What blows your dress up? Whee! What is it that helps you understand and perceive? That's what I mean when I say make room for God in your life. If I've got headphones in my ears and I'm multitasking on the computer and sal ek van God kan hoor? Yes, but it will be very, very difficult and challenging to be able to hear from God. It's in times like that where people will end up coming to you and say, yeah, God told me to divorce my wife. I've had that. I give you my word. We've had that. Really? I don't know what God you've been listening to, but that's very different to the God of the Bible here. You know? So, however, there are circumstances like that where God will say some strange things. And but that's for another time. So make specific room for God. Psalm 26 and verse 8. Psalm 26 and verse 8. It says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. That's the part of that verse that I highlighted. The place where your glory dwells. Find a place. Find circumstances. Change the things around you where you can experience God's glory dwelling in that place for you to be able to perceive and to hear from God. So as the deep end comes up, I'd like to recap quickly. Just recap quickly these 7 points. Point number one, have faith. Believe that God wants to hear you, wants to speak to you and answer you as the God of the individual. Number two, have holiness and righteousness in your life. Be at a place of right standing with God. Point number three, seek God more than you seek His answers. Point number four, prayer is more an issue of being with someone than it is a case of doing something. Point number five, don't give up. Keep on keeping on. Persist. Point number six, be sincere and unselfish. And point number seven, make specific room for God. I trust that this has challenged you, giving you food for thought. I want to encourage you in this week, if it's at all possible and feasible for you, get out to a home cell, discuss this, break it open, sink your teeth into the meat of this word, meditate on it. I'd like to pray for us all now as we stand together before we get ready to worship the Lord. Would you stand with us? I want to pray specifically this morning. I just feel the Spirit of God laid in my heart that there's at least one individual here this morning that you feel that, you see, Mozzie, you know, because of what I've done, I've been regarding iniquity in my heart. That's why God is not hearing me. I want you to know that God has heard every single prayer, but has not necessarily responded the way you would have liked Him to respond. If you feel that you've regarded iniquity in your heart, or there's an issue of deliberate, willful, repetitive and continuous, unrepented sin in your life, like all of us, you're in the right place this morning. That's why we come to church. That's why we come to get together, so that we can seek God's face together and repent before the Lord. If you at that place this morning where you know that the Holy Spirit has laid something on your heart this morning, it's an issue that you need to deal with or just repent before God, right there where you're standing, just consider that situation in your life before God as we pray together. And I'd love to pray with you this morning as we pray together corporately. I want you to know that the love of God is powerful and sufficient enough to deal with the weight and the burden of that sin in your life. Right there where you stand, acknowledge it before God. If you need to repent of something, then simply do so. To say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, I ask you just to forgive me of this. I've hung on to it for so long. And just repent and say, Lord, just have mercy upon me. Jesus, you've paid a price that is all sufficient to cleanse me of this. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you died so that I can, through faith, become the righteousness of God in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you set people free this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you that your forgiveness, Lord God, cleanses us of all our sins, Lord. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for us this morning, Lord God, that we would take these principles, Lord. If we already do them, that's great. And May we grow in these areas. If it's new to us, Lord God, may we just apply it to our lives. Let it not just be theory that's in some sermon notes somewhere in an archive of stuff that we keep, but let it be something that we apply to our lives, Lord, that we can learn to hear from you. Lord, I pray for the challenging, practical difficulties that people face in this busy world and in our busy lives. Lord, help us to simplify things that we can hear from you and make room for you in our lives. Lord, I pray for mothers, Lord, for fathers, for single parents, for businessmen, Lord God. I pray for people that have jobs with huge, huge responsibilities where the day is so pressurized. Help them to find you in the midst of those storms, Lord. As Philly spoke last week about the storms, Lord, let us find you in the midst of those things in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, let prayer be a two-way dialogue in our lives where we hear from you, Lord God, and respond to you and hear what it is that you're speaking into our hearts this morning in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.